Hi there. Today we are going to look at Paul's evangelism in Athens. But what kind of image do you have when you hear the word Athens? Well, recently, some of you may have seen the Tokyo Olympic torch handover ceremony held in Athens in March. While Athens, the capital city of Greece, it was a center of world art, culture and education, the Panthenon, or open-air theater, and music hall, and various sculptures, and Athens is the center of Greek mythology, right? Zeus, Apollon, Artemis, Hermes, Poseidon, there are many other gods too. And Athens was also famous for Greek philosophy, right? Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and in verse 18 you can see the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who were representatives of two major philosophical schools in Paul's day. So when Paul came to Athens, Greece has already reached its peak, and it was captured by the Roman Empire already, but Greek culture still had a great influence there. And surprisingly, this Greek culture is very similar to modern Japanese culture, and probably somewhere else too. From the figure of Paul's mission in Athens, we can learn a lot of things about how we can share the gospel. So starting today, I'd like us to stop in Athens for a while. Maybe today and next time, or could be three times, we'd like to see how we can share the gospel. So today is the first lesson, and so let's see the context where Paul is in. And in the coming lesson, we want to see how and what Paul spoke. What and how, okay? So, okay, now let's see the first point of today. That is the holy distress. Holy distress. Look at verse 16 of chapter 17 of the book of Acts. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. Paul saw many idols there, and his spirit was provoked within him. Again, Athens was the center of Greek mythology. There are many shrines and temples dedicated to gods that humans created, and it was said that there are more idols than the humans in Athens. And this is pretty similar to Japan, where it is said that there are 8 million gods. Polytheism, and they are superstitious. And in Japan, there is a Shinto shrine in a house, and there is also a Buddhist altar, and it is said that there are even gods in the kitchen, and even gods in the toilet, and they rely on amulets, drawing fortunes, horoscopes, etc., right? And Paul walked around in the city of Athens, and he noticed many idols, and his spirit was provoked. The word provoked here is often translated as burning with anger or distressed. This word appears only twice in the New Testament. One is here, and another one is in the 1 Corinthians 13:5, translated easily angered. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, and here, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So Paul tells us that we should not be easily angered. Even so, Paul, in today's passage, is burning with anger. So, hey, Paul, what's going on here? Well, let me explain this paradox. Christians are not to be angry. We are not to be angry in principle. I sometimes fail in this. But when we feel anger coming out, we should remember that love is patient, love is kind. So the power, by the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can have victory over the flesh and strive to please the Holy Spirit. However, there are times when a Christian must get angry. Rather, we bear angry at times. What kind of situation is that? It is what Paul is experiencing here. When God's glory is being humiliated. According to the Bible, God was not made by humans. God created humans. The gods that were made by humans and God who created humans. Can you see the difference? God that humans created to satisfy their own desires and wishes, or God who created the human beings. Furthermore, God created all the universe and everything in it. The world idol. The world idol. Idol means empty or vacant. It is not real. Therefore, there are not many gods. Only one God, the Creator, who created everything. And the idols are worshipped. And instead of praising the true name of God, it is humiliated. The name of God is neglected. Therefore, Paul's resentment was holy anger, which came out because the glory and the name of God was humiliated. So, what about us? Are you distressed when you see the current situation in Japan or elsewhere? Is your heart troubled about the people around you worshipping idols, gods that do not exist? Idols are not just idols made of gold or silver or stone or wood. Anything that steals our heart and distracts from our true God could be an idol. For example, there are many people in Japan who are fascinated by paranormal phenomena, or spiritual vision, or spiritual world communications. But fortune telling is also included in this. On YouTube, I find 50,000 people have subscribed, and 400,000 people watched the sites of psychic beliefs, super natural, you know, suspicious inspired commercials such as so-called spiritual. And when I see this, my heart really gets troubled, especially now when many of us cannot go outside due to coronavirus, and many of us may be staying at home all day long, in front of a PC or smartphone. But you might need to notice that you may be in a very vulnerable situation, especially, you know, when you are tempted in the stress. There are smartphone addictions, video game addictions, pornography, YouTube, Facebook, these too could become addictions and idols. The other day, I was watching the TV and I saw the news about the man at the pachinko parlor. And he said, even if I'm told not to go there to pachinko parlor due to coronavirus, I cannot quit. If it is still open, they should close the shop. Otherwise, I cannot help but going there. Well, that is why at the very end of 1 John 5, verse 21, John teaches, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. But with that in mind, Paul's anger was the anger of love. He wanted even the foreigners, for him, the Athens, the Greek people. He wanted even strangers to be saved. And that was the anger coming out of love. Now, let's go to the second point. That is, a passion for evangelism is born of the holy anger. A passion for evangelism is born of the holy anger. When Paul saw the city filled with idols, did he get angry and walk around and destroy the idols in the city? No, それちょっと大変ですよ. That's a problem. I have heard a man who had done that before in the news. That's a crime, okay? That's a problem. Don't do that. Let's look at verse 16 again. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that city was full of idols. And then so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. So when he saw the city was full of idols, he felt he had to do something about it. Such a holy anger led him to preach the word of God. Why do we share the word of God? Well, we realize how wonderful the salvation is, and that God's word teaches us, right? And we want many other people to know about this amazing grace. And at the same time, we want to share God's word because we are motivated when we see people living so far from God that we feel we have to do something about it. Therefore, Paul reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Then, as you see in the next passage, verse 18, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. So who are these Epicureans and Stoics? Well, simply speaking, Epicureans taught the hedonism. So pleasure is the chief goal of in life. The pleasure is the chief goal in life. Well, he doesn't like it, but their model was enjoy life. Okay? They thought the purpose of life was to seek pleasure, attain happy life, characterized by peace and freedom from fear, the absence of pain, and by living a self-sufficient life. That's Epicureans. On the other hand, the Stoics thought that the man's happiness consisted in bringing himself in harmony with the course of the universe and the nature. They are pantheistic, regarding God as the world soul. Materialism, pantheism, fatalism were the leading features of this philosophy, and their motto was endure life. That's asceticism, right? And in this context, filled with such an intellectual air, Paul spoke the word of the cross, as usual, toward these top intellectual, educated philosophers. And he has shared about Christ and the resurrection. And we will look at the details about how and what he shared in details next week. But you see, that the essence of the message never changed. The essence of the message never changed. The later half of verse 18 says, he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. Instead of trying to speak wisely to the Greek philosophers because the word of God would seem like an incomprehensible teaching, and he spoke the word straightforward. And in 2 Timothy 4, 2-5, Paul says to young Timothy, and I'm going to read from the voice translation here. 2 Timothy 4, 2. Go out and preach the word, for whether it's an opportune time or not, reprove, warn, and encourage. but do so with all the patience and instruction needed to fulfill your calling, because the time will come when some will no longer tolerate sound teaching. Instead, they will live by their own desires. They will scratch their itching ears by surrounding themselves with teachers who approve of their lifestyles and tell them what they want to hear. They will turn away from the real truth you have to offer because they prefer the sound of fables and myths. But you must stay focused and be alert at all times. Tolerate suffering. Accomplish the good work of an evangelist and complete the ministry to which you have been called. We may think, oh, this message may not fit with the reasoning of modern people, and we may be tempted to deny miracles or deny resurrection, or we don't want to talk about sin at all, and because modern people find it hard to accept, so we want to talk about the message of love only, and we may be tempted to think that way. Of course, we need to be wise and to be sensitive to what we say with love. That is what we're going to learn next time. But still, we must share the word of God itself. Sometimes we worry that it is difficult for people to be interested in the Bible, so we fail to share about the word of God and only talk about what people want to hear. But the word of God is different from something that we hear as an entertainment or a recreation or something to kill time for. Because the word of God is the living word of God, and it is life. It is by the word of God that we are saved. That is why we share this good news. And we need to keep that in our mind, in our hearts, that now we are sharing the good news straight forward. Now, thirdly, what was the response of these people who listened to his word? Let's look at verse 19 and 20. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, the meeting place of Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? Well, they said this not because they wanted to believe in Christ, but because they were always wanting to hear something new. Verse 21 says, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. That was how they spent time with. Taking a new ideology or religion or philosophy one after another, consuming it and throwing it away, and then listening to something new again when these things come out. That was how they are spending time, killing their time vainly. Listening to their thoughts and ideology or philosophy for their entertainment or recreation. But when we think about it, actually, aren't there are lots of people like this in modern days? There is so much information overall on internet or YouTube. People are always searching for something new, what we call fads, that fuels our curiosity. And we like the Athenians. The Athenians wanted to hear Paul's message with such a reason. But no matter how much we preach about Jesus Christ and the resurrection, if you do not understand the meaning of God's word, it's saying, if you are only interested in something new, you would not be able to comprehend the grace of salvation of God, nor were you able to experience how wonderful God's grace is. The important thing is listening and accepting God's word that never changes, and living out God's love, so that we may be able to experience the love of God that never changes, and we would be thankful and praise God daily. The newness that the Athenians were searching for was the latest news, like today's internet, or YouTube, or TV program provides. Like the newness of a weekly magazine, when it comes out, it's really new, but after a while, it becomes old news. However, the newness of God's word is not like this. The love of the cross is wider than the ocean, higher than the sky, and deeper than the valley. The newness of the word of God is like a treasure. The deeper we dig, the more we can have. Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field." Like treasure hidden in the field. But no matter what happens, it never fades. It is never shaken. It is the everlasting word. The grass withers and flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Right? And we have to tell this story because we have a story to tell. So let us taste the word of God, which is not just a new teaching, but the true teaching of God. Stay firm on this solid foundation and receive the power and grace of salvation. So, this week again, let's go out as a people who live out the word and become the carriers of the word and share it somehow out with the people around us. God's love and power with you this week. Amen.